Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you on this Sunday as we gather together to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is a special Sunday, a holiday Sunday, so we give God thanks for all of you being here this morning. Just a few announcements to bring to your attention. We will be having worship in the chapel beginning the second Sunday in June. So we have just a couple of more Sundays to be here in the sanctuary. So we will again be for the remainder of the summer meeting in the chapel. So please prepare for that. Also, just to remind everyone that our picnic is coming up on June the 29th. That's going to be on a Saturday at Burl Home Park. Love to have everyone to come out to participate in that. Always a wonderful time of fellowship together and also of eating, which is my favorite thing, and games. So please mark that down, June 29th at Burl Home Park from 12 to 4. There are other things, of course, that will be going on here at Alney Presbyterian Church through the course of the summer. Please take the time to read your bulletin. Also, go to our church webpage to stay abreast of all that happens here at Alney Presbyterian Church. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from the third chapter of John's Gospel, beginning at verse 1 and reading through verse 17. It's found on page 924 of your Pew Bible, so let us listen to God's word for us this morning. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with them." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born anew. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can this be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand this? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." It's the word of the Lord. Amen. Well, friends, let me congratulate you for being here this morning. This is as I said earlier, a special weekend. This is Memorial Day weekend, and so a number of folks are away enjoying their weekend at the shore and in other places, but you are the hardcore faithful, so we give God thanks for you being here this morning. I always like the summer months, because the summer months sort of begin the summer holidays, and I love the summer holidays, particularly the national holidays. And Memorial Day is one of the days that it's one of my favorite of the federal holidays, the national holidays. I remember several years ago, 40 years ago, in fact, when I was a young second lieutenant stationed at Aberdeen Proving Grounds, going to down to Washington, D.C. on Memorial Day to see the Vietnam Wall. And it was quite an experience for me, left a very powerful impression on me. I remember as I was going up to the grounds where the memorial was, there was all kind of people there. It was kind of a festive atmosphere as well as a kind of a solemn atmosphere as well. There was someone who was beating a drum on time. In time, there was someone who was playing a bugle, and there were veterans from all the wars. It was there, from all the wars that our nation had fought since World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and of course the Second World War. But they were all there, and there were family members of the soldiers who had fallen in Vietnam, and they were there at the memorial wall, looking for the names of loved ones. And I remembered the whole thing had a very compelling impression upon me. I was suddenly overcome with this sense of what I could only describe as an awe, a kind of religious awe. And that has always kind of stayed with me, even as I reflect back on it over all these many years. Memorial Day is always a day that we are reminded and that we remember all of the sacrifice of those who have served the country. We remember all of the soldiers and the sailors and the airmen and other military personnel who have died. But we also remember all of those Americans who have given their lives so that we might enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans today. We remember all of those who gave their lives so that all of us could enjoy the right to vote. We remember all of those who gave their lives so that we could be all treated equally as citizens. We remember all of those who gave their lives fighting for justice in our country. Truly, as Americans, we are indebted to all of those who have helped to make the country that it is today. But you and I are gathered here this morning because we realize that we are debtors in a much more profound way. We are gathered here not simply as citizens of this nation, but we are gathered here because we are all debtors to God. We are debtors to the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for all of us, who gave his life indeed for the whole world. That's what we are told in our gospel lesson this morning. We are told that God loves the world. The world that God created, this world that God has made good, this world that we human beings have made a mess of, God loves it. Indeed, we are told that God loves the world so much that God would come into the midst of our world and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and give himself for the sake of all of us, for the sake of the world, because God loves the world. The Greek word that is translated for world is, of course, the word cosmos, and it's where we get a lot of our English words like cosmopolitan. Years ago, when I was first looking to come to Philadelphia, I was reading up on it, and one of the words it kept describing the city was that it was a cosmopolitan center of the country, meaning that you have people here in Philadelphia from all over the world, from all over. And it's one of the reasons I like the neighborhood of Olney, because we are a little cosmos. We have people from all over the world here, and that's a good thing because God loves it. God loves the world. God doesn't just love all of us good Presbyterians. God doesn't just love us professing Christians. God doesn't just love us Americans, but God loves the whole world. God loves everybody. God loves the world. And that's something that's always worth keeping in the forefront of our thinking. It's good for us to remember that. Memorial Day, of course, is always a good day, a good weekend to be mindful of one of the great spiritual temptations. And that temptation is the conflating of our religious faith, our faith in God, with our love of country. Many of us have seen how it's easy to do that. It's easy to confuse or mix up or conflate our devotion to God with devotion to nation. Indeed, I think one of the great dangers facing our country today, facing Christians in our country today, is something called Christian nationalism, which has actually been around for quite some time, but we see it particularly strong in our nation today. Christian nationalism asserts not that God loves the world, but that God loves us. That God loves us Americans, God loves us especially and particularly. That God loves us because we are God's chosen nation. It's a fusing together of our Christian identities with our national identities in such a way as to terribly distort our vocation as witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world. Indeed, it often conflates our service to the nation with our service to God as if they were the same. And I think I was feeling something like that 40 years ago when I first made that trek to Washington, D.C. on Memorial Day. For me to be a Christian was somehow to be an American, and to be an American was to be a Christian, and I had conflated the two together. But I'd forgotten what the Bible tells us so clearly, that God loves the world. God loves the whole world. We shouldn't confuse Christian nationalism, of course, with patriotism. Patriotism simply has to do with the love that one has for their country. As Americans, we should all love our country. We should all strive to make our country a better place. And as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should all strive to make God known to our fellow countrymen. And not only that, but we should strive to make our country more and more in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. If we truly love our country and we believe that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, then we would very much want our country to reflect that. But Christian nationalism is something different. Christian nationalism is an attempt to sacralize the nation so that it becomes identifiable with God. Christian nationalism is not about making our country more and more in the image of Christ. It's about making our faith more and more in the image of someone's idea of what it means to be an American. In her recent book, Jesus and John Wayne, the author Christian Dumas tells how, in certain contexts, the Jesus that we come to know in the Bible, the humble Savior who has a heart for the poor, the broken, and the stranger, has been transformed into something different, has been transformed into kind of a John Wayne figure. When I was in the Army, we used to have a saying. We'd say that was John Wayne kind of action. Every Monday, the first sergeant would read the names of soldiers who had gotten into trouble, usually for fighting, and he would read out the descriptions of what they had done, and they would do things like jumping over a bar or swinging from the chandelier and fighting, and the first sergeant would always follow it up by saying, that was John Wayne action. And we've kind of made Jesus out of a John Wayne kind of image. It's the image of what we think it means to be a man, an image of what we think it means to be an American. But we were reminded this morning that God is not made in our image, and Jesus is not made in our image. That Jesus is God with us, and that everything that Jesus did in his life and in his death and in his resurrection, he was declaring that God loves the world. God loves the whole world. God doesn't just love us, but God loves the world. God loves you and me. God loves people south of our border. God loves people over in Russia, if you can believe that. God loves the Russians. God loves people in the Middle East. God loves the Israelis. God loves the Palestinians. God loves the Arabs. God loves the Africans. God loves the people in South America. God loves the whole world. God loves them just as much as God loves us. God loves the world. A friend of mine sent me something the other day. It was a Bible that was being published. It's called the God Bless the USA Bible. Like most published Bibles, it doesn't have a cross or anything like that on the front cover. Instead, it has an American flag on it. But what makes it different from any other published Bibles is that it has an addition to it. It not only contains the Old Testament and the New Testament, but it also has some of the framing documents of our nation. It has a copy of the Constitution inside, the Declaration of Independence. It also contains the Pledge of Allegiance and the words to the song, God Bless America. All of these things are fine, of course, and wonderful, and they should be read and treasured for what they are, but they are not holy writ. They are not holy scripture. They are not God's words. The word of the Lord is the word that we heard this morning, and the word of the Lord is that God loves the world. We live in a wonderful country. In many ways, an exceptional country, but we are not God's chosen people. We are not God's chosen nation. We are not the people who are called to carry out God's purposes in the world. The people who are called to carry out God's purposes in the world today is the church, you, me, Christians all over the world, no matter where they might be. Spirit-filled people all over the world who are called to bear witness, because that is what God loves. God loves the world. And so at bottom, Christian nationalism is just another form of idolatry. It's the placing of something else at the center of our lives other than God, the God that we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this instance, it is the nation itself that we are often tempted to put at the center of our hearts, the center of our lives, which is just another way of worshiping ourselves. And so Christian nationalism is our attempt to control God, to box God in, to restrict God and confine God to our purposes and aspirations. But as Jesus tells Nicodemus in our text this morning, you cannot box God in. The Holy Spirit blows where it will. And thanks be to God, it blows all over the world because that's what God loves. God loves the whole world. So as we begin to celebrate the rest of this weekend, Memorial Day, we can give thanks for those who have fallen in service for our country. But we remember, too, that we've already had our Memorial Day, or we Christians have our Memorial Day. Every November, we remember all of those who have died in propagating the faith, especially those who have given their lives for the faith. And every Sunday is a Memorial Day, too, especially every first Sunday when we come together around the table. We come together to remember. That's what Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Remember. Remember God's love. Remember God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son. And you and I are called to love the world as well, the whole world. We are called to love the world just as God loves the world. We are called to love people who are different from us. We are called to love people in other countries. We are called to love our next door neighbors. We are called to love the world because it's this world that is close to God's heart. God loves the world. No ifs, ands, or buts, no exclusions. God loves the world. Let us pray. Gracious God, we again come to you giving you thanks. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this weekend. And we thank you for this country that you have blessed us, in which you have blessed us to live. But we ask, Lord, that you help us not to turn towards idolatry, that you help us to remember that you are the God who calls all of us to be your servant people. You have reminded us again and again that you love all of us and that you have loved us so much that you sent your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to give himself for the whole world. So help us to remember that this morning as we celebrate the heroes of our nation, but also, most importantly, as we remember that you have called us, as you have called people from all over, to bear witness to your coming kingdom, and that we are called to live into your kingdom even now. As we say in 1,001 ways that you love the whole world. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.